Welcome to the Deeper Daily Broadcast with Pastor Paul White. We hope the good news of God's abundant grace and favor will be daily bread to your soul. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Paul.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another week's worth of the Deeper Daily Broadcast. We're here 15 minutes every day. If you're listening in by radio, I want to welcome you driving down the road or at work or wherever you might be. We're here 15 minutes Monday through Friday. If you're listening by iPod or through the internet broadcast, then we welcome you all over the world to 15 more minutes of going a little deeper into the Word of God. I'm very excited this week to get back into the verse-by-verse study from the book of Romans. For the past few years, we have off and on went left to right through the book of Romans. Now, I say for the past few years, not as if we've done it every single day. In fact, we haven't aired anything from Romans, I think, in at least 5 or 6 weeks. But I want to get back into the great 14th chapter. I save the teachings for, I like to air some sermons that are hot and fresh, stuff we've just preached, and then when I really just I sense the Spirit leading me to teach, we'll jump back in and teach again. And I felt that this as we were preparing this lesson, and it encompasses the rest of Romans 14, verses 13 to 23. One of my favorite passages from the entire book of Romans lies right here. Now, we only have two chapters left after this, and through the course of this year, we'd like to try to get done with the book of Romans and make that entire series available to you either online or by purchase. It's been a powerful and long, very deep series, and I hope that we can get, I hope that if you've missed it, you'll jump back in and pick up where you can. I think this will bless your heart. We're going to go through it a little bit more every day this week. We've also got some special stuff to tell you about as the week goes along, so don't miss a program. Here is Romans chapter 14. Welcome back into our study in Romans chapter 14, and we're going to pick the text up in the 13th verse as we make our way into what I've already commented is one of my favorite passages. My heartbeat is the 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th chapter of Romans, but man, I love this 14th chapter, and I love the part of the chapter that we're getting into right now. Starting in verse 13, and it runs through the end of the chapter, which is verse 23. Let's read verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now, what is the therefore referring back to? Let's not therefore judge one another. In other words, something just happened that causes us to look back. We see the therefore, a very famous therefore in Romans 8 and 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. Therefore, meaning because of this, there's no condemnation. Because of what? Well, the previous chapter had told us that our victory came through Jesus Christ. I thank my God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, there's now no condemnation. So because my victory comes through Jesus and his finished work, then there's no condemnation. In other words, Jesus was condemned, so I can't be. So therefore, we don't judge one another anymore. Why? Because every knee shall bow, verse 11. Every tongue shall confess, verse 12. Everyone shall give account of himself to God. If everyone is going to bow before God, every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord, and every person will give an account of who he is in front of the Almighty God, then it leaves us no more room to judge one another anymore. But it doesn't mean we don't judge at all. Now, let me say this before I get too deep into verse 13. I have heard it said a lot of times, the job of the believer is to be a fruit inspector. I've heard people say, you know, you're supposed to, you'll know a tree by its fruit. And they'll comment that if you're supposed to be an apple tree, you'll put out apples. And if you don't put out apples, then you can't call yourself an apple tree. And I've heard it said that though we don't know you're saved, for sure we'll know if you're saved because of the fruit that's in your life. And you'll know a tree by its fruit. Did you know that that phrase has been so misused, so taken out of context, that phrase, you'll know a tree by its fruit? Let me show you that text. And I'm bringing this up for a reason, because I want to talk to you for a moment where the Apostle Paul deals with how to judge one another. Let me show you the scripture that is used, you'll know a tree by its fruit. You shall, Matthew 7:16, you shall know them by their fruits. Okay,
you shall know who?
Well, the who is the previous verse, verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Now the next verse, even so every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. The text never actually says you shall know a tree by its fruit. What the text does say is you shall know whether or not they're a ravening wolf on the inside because of the fruit that's coming out on the outside. But notice it was not believer to believer. It was believer to false prophet. It wasn't Christians sitting around looking at other Christians or other unbelievers and going, oh, wow, that guy is saved because look at his fruit. That's where we took it out of context. What it is saying, is this a true prophet or a false prophet? And you're going to know by the fruit that comes off that prophet. Now, using that as our template, we go back to Romans 14:13, where we don't judge one another anymore, but here's what we do judge. So we do judge. We do have the right to judge. In fact, the Bible tells us in the Gospels, judge not one another lest you be judged. So if you judge, you'll be prepared to be judged in the same manner. Would you rather judge by God's grace or judge by God's law? If you're going to judge by God's law, then you get judged based on your performance of God's law. Judge by God's grace, you're judged based on the performance of Christ and his finished work at Calvary. That's what I choose. So let's not judge one another anymore, but we do get to judge this. Judge this rather that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. So if you want to do some judging, then judge yourself on this one thing. Am I putting something in front of another believer's path that will cause them to stumble? Literally, a stumbling block. Now, what could I do that might... Notice this has nothing to do with unbelievers. This is another brother. What could I do that might cause another believer to stumble or literally place a stumbling block in another person's way? Now, we know Jesus said it's impossible that offenses will come. Offenses are going to come. But he also then goes on to say that it's better that a millstone be hanged around your neck and you're cast into the sea than you should offend one of the little ones. Now, I believe that's not just children, but new converts as well. So God's very clear. Under no circumstances does he want to see us put something in the path of a fellow believer that would cause him to stumble. Well, what is it that Paul's talking about? We get a better insight in the next verse, Romans 14:14. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteems anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Now, I love the fact that Paul opens the verse with, I know and am persuaded, because if you'll recall, and I know we'll have to backtrack a little bit because we broke this 14th chapter up into a couple different segments already, but if you'll recall, Paul starts this chapter by talking about those who believes they can eat anything and another who is weak, thinking he can only eat vegetables. In fact, he said that if you think you can only eat some things, he called you weak in the faith, verse 1. Okay? He said, receive them. Don't despise them. Don't you despise someone that thinks they can eat anything, and don't you despise someone who thinks they can eat nothing because of this. Verse 5, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. So I can't determine whether or not I can eat the meats or whether or not what day I observe Sabbath on or any of those things. I can't determine that based on what you think. I can only determine that if I'm persuaded in my mind. He brings that idea back in 14:14. When he says, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus. In other words, I feel that it's the Lord Jesus who has persuaded me, not my religion, not my heritage, not my coworkers, not my family, my church, my friends. I feel the Lord Jesus has persuaded me of the following, that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that thinks it's unclean or esteems it or considers it to be unclean, to him, it is unclean. Now, I want you to remember what the Apostle Paul has told us at a previous passage, and we dealt with this a little bit before, when in the 8th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul talked about the meats offered to idols. And in his discussion of meats offered to idols, he talked about how knowledge puffs up, that if you believe it's okay for you to eat, if you're not careful, though, you'll have so much knowledge on the matter that you won't love other people. And so sometimes you'll speak harshly to them. He said, knowledge puffs up, but charity edifies. I'm in 1 Corinthians 8:1. Now, that whole chapter, he's basically talking about foods that you eat. And in Judaism, the dietary law was still a huge ordeal. And so Paul, who talking about weak faith and weak conscience, and we dealt with this quite a bit in the second section. So if you missed that portion of Romans 14, you want to get that and listen in on that second section. But I want to take you back to that chapter, 1 Corinthians 8. Listen to what Paul says in verse 10. If any man see that which has, I'm sorry. If any man see you that has knowledge set at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through the knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? So you might cause your brother to do harm to himself spiritually, even though Christ has died for him. But when you sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you are sinning against Christ. Now, what am I sinning against? I'm not doing anything wrong. Paul's got people eating meats. They can eat whatever they want. It's redeemed. But your brother doesn't think it's right. He sees you drinking. He doesn't think you should drink. You wound his conscience. And maybe he goes ahead and does it, though he doesn't think it's right. And the moment he does it, even though he doesn't think it's right, he's sinning against a weak conscience. Thus, Paul says, 1 Corinthians 8:12, he's sinning against Christ. Wherefore, if meat makes my brother be offended, then I will eat no flesh while the world stands, lest I make my brother to offend. So Paul says, look, it's not worth it. If me eating something is going to cause my brother to fall apart, there is no way, as long as the world is standing, that I'm going to eat it, because I don't want my brother to stumble in anything that I do. It's the same thing Paul is saying to us in Romans 14:14. I know, and I'm persuaded by the Lord Jesus, that there's nothing unclean to itself. But to the man that thinks it's unclean, to him it is unclean. Which leads us to verse 15, Romans 14:15. But if your brother be grieved with your meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with your meat for whom Christ died. So if he is grieved, cause trouble. That's what we were just reading in 1 Corinthians 8. If it causes him problems to see you doing these things, then you're not walking in love. We've done messages here in our ministry, and I did one recently that particularly sticks out in my head, where we talked about how grace is a revolution, not a rebellion. Grace does not equip you to go out and do all the things everybody else in the church won't do because they think it's wrong. So you say, oh, I'm under grace. Watch this. I'll show them all that I'm under grace. If you have that attitude, grace, it's not grace that's doing this in you. You have a rebellious spirit that's doing this to you. I'm not saying you're demon possessed. Don't take that at all. The Christians aren't demon possessed. You can't be demon possessed, possessed of the Holy Ghost at the same time. But you are being under the influence of a demonic spirit that is causing you to call your rebellion grace. Grace will lead to a revolution, an overthrow of idea, a change of desire, a change of pattern, of lifestyle, of habit. But it will not lead to a rebellion in which you run hard against all the things you've ever heard. Thank you for listening to our verse-by-verse study through the book of Romans. We've been studying Romans chapter 14, verses 13 through the end of the chapter, verse 23. If you'd like a copy of this teaching, it is approximately 49 minutes long, contained on one CD, and encompasses Romans 14, verses 13 to 23, and it can be yours, postage paid and free of charge, by contacting the ministry and asking for offer number R143. That's offer R143, and we will send the disc to you as quick as we can. Until next time, this is Pastor Paul White, hoping you have a great day. God bless.
Thank you for joining us for the Deeper Daily Broadcast. To order products mentioned in today's program, write us at Paul White Ministries, P.O. Box 985, Poplar Bluff, Missouri 63902, or call us at 573-686-2414. To order online, visit our website at www.paulwhiteministries.org. May God's abundant grace and favor be with you in Jesus' lovely name.